Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
May not be 0-0 for long. Maley to left and gone. Luke Maley tattoos a 1-2 pitch, and the Guardians have the first lead of the ball game.
Not every weekend can be a good one. The Astros splitting the series with the Cleveland Guardians. I almost always say the other word when I say that. 2-2, four-game quick road trip. What we saw the first couple of games, some great, you know, bats, some grand slam by Mancini, just an overall effort. Couldn't get going the last two games.
Yeah, I don't want to press the panic button, but I do wish that, you know, as an elitist Astros fan, when I am rooting for just the Astros, I was hoping that I would not have to watch the game on Saturday or Sunday, just knowing that, yeah, I trust them. They're going to take at least one of these two games. They're going to score runs in any of these games. And then one run in two games, it's a little annoying. Nothing to freak out about, but when you do add the bats that you do at the trade deadline and you are getting some immediate contributions from Trey Mancini, you do wonder about the rest of the lineup and some of the struggles that they're going through right now.
There was one run Sunday's game that gave us a little hope.
Yeah.
That was it right there. Yeah, that's the Guardians. Here's the thing. I get a little bit cocky. I do, because you have to remember, I've only been here and during the Astros being good. So I didn't sit through all of the grind, all of the seasons of the Astros being bad. So when I see performances like Mancini and all that, I'm like, okay, well, they're going to sweep the Guardians. Like, it's fine. They're going to catch the Yankees. It's official. Best team in baseball. Hello, bye. Hello, home field advantage. And so I do get cocky, and it's not because I work part-time there. It's just because I've never been here. I mean, I literally moved to Houston in August of 2019 and covered a World Series a couple months later. So it's hard for me to be realistic. But just, you know, not a good weekend overall when you look at the tail end of things. Again, not hitting the panic button. The other thing that I thought about, Paul, is that Cleveland is still in that AL Central race.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bringing it.
Yeah.
Like, they really are bringing
the
best.
The Astros don't have to try, so it's fine. Like, these are the these are the perks. Being an arrogant sports fan is, I think, very fun. And as someone who grew up one, someone who, as a Patriots fan moving to Tampa Bay, Florida, told all of his new classmates at the high school he went to that the Bucs were losers when they were the defending Super Bowl champions and that the Patriots were better. Ended up being right, by the way. But that's neither here nor there.
And then your guy ended up playing for Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
How cute.
I know. It sort of was karma for the 20 years ago, coming into high school, essentially flipping off every single one of my classmates and saying, yeah, the Bucks suck.
You went to high school 20 years ago?
That's close to that. So
that's
not.
No way.
Stop, rub it in.
You got a little gray in that beard.
A little? I got gray in my eyebrows now. Like that's been
you
an
pull
interesting
it off,
development.
Though. You pull it off, though. I'm just not used to the Astros struggling. I've never seen them struggle, and thankfully I don't think we can qualify this as struggling, but it is a good chance for them to bounce back. They, of course, come back home. And like we've talked about all year, they don't have a rigorous schedule.
No.
I mean, in some ways, the hardest part of their schedule where they were facing the Yankees, and you talked about the Mariners. You warned us about the Mariners. That part of their schedule is done, and they ended up doing really well. So the Cleveland Guardians were going to bring their best. They did bring their best. Cal Quantrill was randomly very dominant and had a great game, and then their closer was able to be dominant as well and just shut it out.
Yeah, offense needs to be better again. But not the end of the world, because things have, I think, gone rather fortuitously for the Houston Astros in another department. I feel like, you know, you mentioned it a little bit ago, Vanessa, as we take a look at who has the top record in the American League, one team is cratering right now. Do you notice this? Have you paid attention to this? Do you hear about this?
One team is cratering. Could it be the team that everybody says is the best team in baseball?
Mm.
Could it be the team that everybody says is also the cockiest fan base? It is time for Paul's famous Yankees Watch.
Yankees Watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
The Yankees got swept over the weekend. They have lost 5 games in a row. And I thought it would take the Astros a little bit longer to catch the New York Yankees after the All-Star break. They were behind them by what? 5.5 games? That number is right now just half a game. The Yankees are 70-39 on the year. The Houston Astros are 70-40. So Houston's played one more game. They've lost one more game. If they won either of the games on Saturday or Sunday, they would have the best record in the American League. And the reason that the Yankees lost yesterday was because this happened.
The 0-1 is hit out to deep left off the bat of DeYoung at the wall. Gone! Off of Big Mac land. Paul DeYoung comes through again today.
This game has just been awesome.
Yeah, it has been, random St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster. So the Cardinals swept the Yankees this weekend. For those who are interested, because I do feel like, as cocky sports fans, we get to pay attention to what's going on in the National League, because let's be honest, I mean, there's a pretty good chance that the Astros are going to play one of those teams. The Cardinals have won 7 games in a row and are playing very, very well, and they actually just took first place in the National League Central. So maybe that's another team that's entering the fray of potential Astros challengers. The Phillies also are playing very well of late in the National League, and we all know that the Padres made those big moves, but they've actually lost 4 in a row.
So. I was going to say, the Padres aren't... The Phillies, it's funny you say that, because they're always like sleeper teams that you don't even know are doing well. Not going to lie, didn't know the Phillies were doing well. Per ESPN Stats and Info, the Cardinals are the first National League team to finish a 3-game sweep of the Yankees in 15 years. National League teams have swept the Yankees just 4 times.
Wow.
Since interleague play began in 1997. So it's super rare that this happens in general.
It is. And look, they're playing well. St. Louis, we give them credit. The Yankees, yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but while they shouldn't really be pressing the panic button either, it's a little bit more of a dicey situation for them in with the schedule that they have the rest of the way. As I highlighted a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah, the Astros, as you just said, Vanessa, they've gotten through pretty much the most difficult games they're going to play this regular season. Other things to pay attention to in the National League. The Mets have won. Whoa, I don't know why my pen just went flying.
Paul just threw his pen at me angrily.
That was an accidental toss. The Mets have won 8 of their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. And sneakily, the Dodgers are starting to run away with the best record in baseball. They are 75-33, which is pretty damn impressive.
It is.
And no one really talks about them.
No, they've done it really quietly.
Yeah, but I mean, I want it to be Astros-Dodgers in the World Series. I know that there maybe are some out there that would to get some vengeance against the Braves.
Yes. Incredible.
Yes. I just want, I want them to know, hey, you lost that time. Oh, there was cheating. Ah.
Paul wants the drama. Another concern just specifically for the Astros. James Click has finally started to be a little bit more candid, I'll say, on Michael Brantley. Robert Ford.
Almost don't want him to be candid now.
Michael Brantley, he asked Robert Ford asked James Click, whoa, hello, Monday, if Michael right. Brantley is going to play again this season. Click replied, quote, we hope so, but with every passing day, you have to kind of take an honest look at it. So then he added again, there's no update. I hear that, and I don't think it sounds great. And shout out to Chandler Rome for his tweet on that. I know the game broadcasters like Robert Ford have to ask, and I'm glad that they do. This is the first time I've ever heard, I've kept track of this situation pretty well. This is the first time I've ever heard James Click really sound kind of negative.
Yeah, and he's 35 years old. You can understand why recovery from a shoulder injury might take a little bit of time. And even when he is back, you have to wonder, is he going to be 100%? And it does put the Astros in a bit of a bind as far as their actual flexibility, I think, night to night. And I know we all have questions about the way that Dusty Baker manages the starting lineup and the guys that he puts in the field. This is going to make it worse. I think that a couple of weeks ago, we probably were all under the assumption that, yeah, he'll be back in September. He'll be back in October. And that still could be the case. But
That did not sound good hearing what James Click said yesterday.
I don't think we have a diagnosis either. Did I completely miss that? I know the Astros also, always keep the injuries close to the vest, but I wonder what that exact diagnosis is, if they even know. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Texans training camp. We bring you the latest from a weekend recap. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. That's where you want to go. Guess what, guys? Football season and ladies is right around the corner. And if you make a deposit with BUSR.com/ESPN, you will double your deposit within the first 24 hours. And this is the time. This is the time to make bets. Maybe it's on the Astros to win the World Series. Maybe it's on the Texans to win more than 4.5 games this season. It could be anything. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN. Start placing them. And again, you double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up. It offers sports betting, a casino, horse racing, and a whole lot more. There's a weekly newsletter as well with the sports calendar of the week, trivia to earn prizes, early lines, free picks, and live betting on all of your favorite sports with fast payouts. And again, you can double your deposit. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN. Up to $2,500. Double that deposit. It's BUSR.com/ESPN.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul and I are trying to figure out Instagram and TikTok, even though we're in our 20s and 30s. It's difficult.
Whatever. You just post stuff. And TikTok is the one that's actually continuously expanding. Now, it's also, probably taking all of your data and giving it away to China. But
to
guess
Russians,
what?
Yeah.
Everyone has all your data anyway.
True.
You're screwed. Just accept it. Just become a part of the mindless zombie horde on TikTok that has no attention span. It just looks at things and scrolls up.
Well, if you follow at Sports Gallant and at Sports Vanessa, not planned, by the way, on Instagram, you'll see a lot of training camp coverage, a lot of Astros coverage. And we're talking to you about Texans training camp. We were talking about this before the show. Mm-hmm. Training camp is what it is. There's only so much that you can see. There's only so much.
Especially the only time with the big guys.
Yeah, and the only time you really, I feel like the only time I've ever gotten a feel for how actually competitive guys could be is during some of the combined practices, because you see them give a little more oomph and a little more effort. But either way, we're learning more about this Texans squad as we continue to watch some of the rookies and some of the second and third year guys.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions about how the offensive line's going to hold up this year with a less than mobile quarterback in Davis Mills. And you have had some guys missing, specifically Kenyon Green, the rookie guard that you just drafted from Texas A&M. And you haven't seen a whole lot of Titus Howard of late either, because I think he's been dealing with a sickness. And I just remember, Vanessa, on Saturday, there were a couple of moments where Davis Mills would have died. In a game.
Yeah.
He would have. They have the red jersey on. They're in shorts. You're not allowed to touch the quarterback. But I remember a couple of moments, and I was just trying not to be loud because I'm not very good at watching these in a professional way. I'm very loud with my reactions to things. And there were a couple times where I just said, Jesus Christ.
You got to watch it now, especially with Cal and Hannah and Jack and the crew are now. Kudos to them, by the way. They're at every practice. But
I want Jack to come over and reprimand me for saying JC.
Reprimand. What would that sound like?
My bad. I should have said cheese and rice for the love of Pete's instead.
I'm nominating Brevin Jordan for the best personality on the team. We have gotten so many fun sound bites from him, and we'll play those for you throughout the week, whether it's fishing, whether it's him on the turnover chain at Miami. But he did talk a little bit about that new Pep Hamilton offense and what he expects from it. Here's Brevin.
I love it. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, everywhere Pep has been, it shows that the tight ends are very valuable in his offense. So just tune in. I mean, week one, tune in. I'm excited.
I liked what I saw from him last year. I think he does have some potential. There were a couple of moments, and I want to say it was the Chargers game in particular. It's all kind of blurring together for me because I just moved back here and started watching the team basically the last month and a half of the year. But there were some things that you saw from him that you like. The thing is, though, I mean, if you take a look at what the Texans' depth chart is at tight end right now, I mean, still Farrell Brown is getting a lot, and I don't think everyone's the biggest Farrell Brown fan out there. Big guy, good blocker, but Brevin Jordan does have a little bit of an excitement factor as a receiver. I don't know, though, like that they are going to use him a whole lot this season. I feel like this year is really going to be about how many different ways can we get Brandon Cooks to football? And it should be that way because he is the best player on the team.
That's what you want, and he's also a seasoned vet, and he and Davis Mills do work well together. I mistakenly thought Brandon Cooks may be cooked. See what I did there?
Ha!
But he's been really good, and I think it's good to have for a young guy like Davis Mills to have that rapport Brandon Cooks.
It's his security blanket.
I think maybe Brevin Jordan's trying to kind of quote-unquote speak it into existence that he's going to be used
right,
a lot.
Like in that book you read.
Like the book I read.
Manifesting it? Is that what it's called?
The Four Agreements. I liked it. Didn't love it. It was very Who Moved My Cheese-ish, but I liked it.
Wait, what? I've never heard that segment before.
Who Moved My Cheese? It was a really popular self-help book in the 90s.
Oh.
And it was about adjusting to change.
Okay.
And it's like the most popular self-help book of the 90s.
How did they come up with that title?
Because it's like the metaphor is like a mouse moving cheese and the mouse adjusting.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I'm lactose intolerant, so bleep
same
that
here.
Noise.
Same here. No. IBD. Team IBD. But
I got yelled at on Saturday because we had pizza at my friend's house party before White Linen Night.
White Linen Night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did get it on my pants or anything like that, which is also an upset. But people got mad at me because I scraped all the cheese off the pizza.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, how many
Star
pieces?
Star Pizza has... I know some people like Star Pizza. Star Pizza is a little bit too rich for my taste. I like, some pizza has a healthy balance between tomato sauce and cheese, and I can handle it. But when it's Star Pizza is so damn thick with the cheese, I just can't do it.
So how many pieces did you do that to?
Because, just one. Just
okay,
one.
So
but
I
everyone
left...
gave me crap about it. I was like, well, I'm sorry, I'm hungry, and I don't want to, you know, be going twosies the rest of the night.
So I'm lactose intolerant as well, like super lactose intolerant. My rule is that I'll do that with one piece of pizza.
Okay.
And but not two, because then you're wasting. So I think the fact that you kept it in one, I'm on Team Paul here.
Pizza. It's good.
It's good.
But it has cheese.
But White Linen Night, dangerous. Lovey Smith talked a little bit about Derek Stingley Jr., their third pick in the overall draft. Here's Lovey.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. You know, all of our players won't play. I'll say that the first preseason game. We still haven't determined, of course, how much. You know, a lot of times when guys are coming off a major injury, we may wait a little bit, but we'll decide that as much as anything. For Stingley, you see he's out here practicing every day. He's right on schedule.
That's been the good part, Vanessa, is to see him out there practicing. But I definitely understand why the Texans maybe wouldn't put him in a preseason game
at all.
I don't
want anybody that's a potential risk for injury playing in the preseason. Maybe they need to play half of one of the games to get moving a little bit. I know he's a rookie. I'm aware. But, I mean, I think it's the right call.
What's interesting about that, though, is you could make that argument for legitimately every single player that goes into a preseason game. And it gets me back to one of my big frustrations, Vanessa, with the preseason, is that over time, it's clear that there is less and less value being placed on it when it comes to, like, the young players. I mean, shoot, Justin Herbert has never played in a preseason game, ever. Has that affected him in his development at all? I think that, too, the more I watch training camp practices and the way that things have changed over the years, it's really interesting watching the offseason because no one is quite going 100%. And I'm always wondering, like, how much are you getting out of this as a player if you're in these practices and you're a player who's established on the roster and you're going, I don't know, like 75% speed, 50% speed or something like that? I wonder about it. What is Stingley really going to get, though, out of a preseason game where he's playing against a team that's likely not going to put its best wide receivers out there? I don't know that he would get that much out of it. And, yeah, I kind of get why you'd be so risk-averse in this
game. Maybe you could, like, argue that rookies need it more than vets, but I understand why veterans hate the preseason. And if you remember during COVID when the preseason was canceled, the veterans were just rejoicing for health purposes and all of that.
I was pretty happy about it, too, because as we talked about, you know, with the Hall of Fame game, you watch a little bit of it and then you're like, oh yeah, this sucks because no one that matters is playing. The coaches are operating it from a weird perspective. It's not really about winning. It's about like getting young players in and getting them reps. But it's like, it's basically all these games, they're only valuable for the players who are like number 46 on the roster to 53. think for the most part, a lot of guys have pretty much established their spot. But then at the bottom of the roster, you have like 50 guys at this point of the year who are trying to find a way to get in. And it's funny because like these preseason games, it's almost an unfair way to determine whether or not they make it because, you know, they might get into a game entirely based off of if the offense doesn't have the ball a whole lot, like a defensive player. Oh, I'm not going to get in unless there's this. The game goes in a certain way where all of a sudden the defense is on the field for like the whole game. It's weird. I feel bad for the young players because I don't know how you can really stand out these days in training camp or in the preseason if you are one of these guys at the back of a roster.
Some news from the NFL. This is Kevin Seifert of ESPN. The NFL has asked officials to pay particular attention to illegal contact fouls in 2022.
So
there was
stupid.
A big drop in them in 2021. Classified as a point of clarification, formerly known as a point of emphasis, will there be a spike in flags? Seems like it could happen.
One of the big differences between the two of us is that you are a Colts fan and I'm a Patriots fan. And I will never, ever, ever, ever let it go that Bill Polian, after losing in the playoffs to the Patriots in a game where Peyton Manning pooped his pants and threw four interceptions, they decided, hey, we're going to start instituting a rule that no one's been really enforcing called the five-yard contact rule the year afterwards. Not only did it not help the Colts out in the next playoff showdown between the Patriots and Colts where Indy scored 3 points against a bunch of backup cornerbacks, it led to the NFL becoming more and more and more friendly to wide receivers and quarterbacks. I think the five-yard contact rule is stupid. I feel like pass interference, yes, it's one thing, but there are so many obstacles that the defender has against them, and it just turns this into more and more of a Mickey Mouse kind of league where, yeah, it's great to see Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes going up against one another at the end of a playoff game. A showdown between those two. But those defenses are gassed. You know why? Because they can't do anything. Like, their hands are tied behind their back already, and now they're going to bring this rule back. I thought it was great that they didn't call this rule a whole lot last year. I actually noticed it. And now, of course, they're going to bring it back. And it's all your boy, Bill Polian's fault.
He ain't my boy. To your point, it didn't help the Colts. Anytime there's another rule and they're instituting it because something wasn't called enough, that really rubs me the wrong way. I think it's good if there are less flags.
Less penalties
is good,
you're
right.
I want
more violence. I want more contact.
Yes!
I want more fun. I want less flags. There is nothing worse than, I don't care what sport it is, basketball, football, I don't really watch hockey, but sure, hockey, where it's penalty after penalty or flag after flag. And it takes the fun away from the game. So I'm not for this at all. And the fact that they're asking for a bump up in it because it was less, I think is everything that's wrong with the league.
Yeah.
So the game is flowing better. The guys are able to advance the ball more. It's able to go. And you're like, well, we weren't putting up enough penalties. Nobody thinks that about the NFL.
I agree. Honestly, too, with the five-yard contact, I don't think it should be automatic first down. Like, if we're trying to come up with a compromise here, like, five-yard automatic first down is kind of stupid. If it's egregious, like, if there is a defensive back who's just leveling a wide receiver 15 yards downfield or something like that, fine. But I don't know, like the incidental contact stuff or just the like a little bit of shoving. I think it's good. I think it makes it more difficult. And I know we all like offenses, but I mean, don't we like to see defenses make plays at all? Because it just feels like every single year it's more and more difficult to be a defensive player in this league. And I do like defense. I mean, you can't just like one side of the ball if you like football.
I totally agree.
It's a violent game. That's the reason we watch it, is because these guys are killing each other going 100 miles per hour.
Officials, this is again per the ESPN article, officials flagged illegal contact an average of 97 times per season between 2002 and 2020. But that number dropped to 36 last season.
Oh,
good.
36? That's awesome.
I mean, it's very low, but it's not like it wasn't being called at all.
No.
It just rubs me the wrong way, the fact that they're like, more rules. We need more, because that's not what.
Yeah, more penalties is never a good idea unless it's something where, I don't know, we're trying to outlaw the play where a quarterback is decapitated by a defensive lineman. Like, yeah, you don't want decapitated quarterbacks.
All
but
for people not being decapitated.
Right. It's not good.
Very much not for decapitation. I am very much for saving money on your home. So listen to me. You don't even have to talk to an agent. It's not going to be a hassle thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get that full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text message. So take your phone out and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. What happens is their system is going to ask for your home address. You text it back, and within 15 seconds, you get that full quote. This is a legit company. It may sound too good to be true, but that's not the case. Their average customer from last year is saving over $870. Again, I know you don't like to shop for home insurance. It is not fun, but TGS Insurance makes it the easiest it's ever been. One more time. Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
This is ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
31 days. Are you kidding me? I love that number. It's a hell of a lot better than the first number we had when we started this, which was 100, and it seemed like forever away. We turn to our jersey consultant, Paul Gallant. What is your number 31?
Jamal Lewis is one of the 31s who played running back for the Baltimore Ravens, and if I'm not mistaken, served a pretty hefty prison sentence dealing drugs. Still went back to the league after that, I think, too. You also have the first Houston Texan Pro Bowler, along with Gary Walker, that would be Aaron Glenn, a cornerback who also played for the New York Jets. He's currently the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, and for all the Aggies out there, he is an Aggie. Gig'em, as they say. Also, Jim Taylor, running back for the Green Bay Packers, who was the NFL MVP in 1962, back when fullbacks could be a MVP.
31 days, baby. We got a couple of preseason games coming up. Of course, training camp has been in full swing for a while. But none of that counts until it's the real thing. And we're going to bring you all of the coverage. Paul and I have been out at training camp. We're going to be at every game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to a couple away games. So I'm excited for the NFL season. Yeah, there's a little tease there.
Okay.
Don't know which ones yet.
Don't know which ones yet.
But the tickets are being booked. Well, obviously, I'll be at the Colts one in January.
That is such a Gen Z approach. Like, oh, yeah, I'll just figure it out.
I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to go, but you can guess if you'd like to tweet me at Vanessa. Which games should I go to?
Check
out my TikTok.
Procrastination with flights. I don't get it. I know you're not doing that, though.
I do it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I procrastinate.
You
got to
do 2 months in advance. Otherwise, it's going to be terrible. And flights, by the way, are this year. Obviously, I think everyone who's flown a plane this year knows. Like, flights have been out of control this season. I think they're finally starting to go down, though.
Can I tell you how I book flights?
How?
I have a Capital One, and honestly, like, they need to dump Jennifer Garner and hire me. I have a Capital One Venture.
What's in your wallet?
What's in your wallet? I put my rent. Every single bill that I have goes on my credit card. Now, here's the catch. I pay it off in full every month, so it doesn't build any debt. But what do I get from that? Points on points on points. I currently have 80,000 Capital One reward points, which easily pays for a flight and a hotel room.
You pay off the credit card.
But
that's an interesting strategy.
The credit card every month.
I should try that.
Because if you don't pay it off, then it just builds debt.
No, it's just fake money. Never matters.
It's counterproductive.
Doesn't matter. When the world ends, no one's going to care about my debt.
Hire me. I'm a good hashtag ad. What were we talking about? The NFL. Matthew Stafford. How about Matthew Stafford? He's got a couple ads out there right now. He has not been participating in team drills, just individual drills and 7-on-7. Due to that nagging elbow injury that Sean McVay had talked about. Here's Matthew Stafford on said elbow injury.
I don't know. I just have a little soreness. We're working through it. I felt pretty good today. I thought it looked pretty good. But just trying to be smart with it and make me feel as good as I can feel going into week one and while still getting as many reps as I can too.
So he totally downplayed it. I think there were 7 questions about this elbow injury, and he actually got irritated and said, quote, "It's irritating when all people want to talk about is that." My argument, of course, being that you're a quarterback, you're known to throw the ball far, and it is a baseball injury, which is not good.
And it's the preseason, so there's literally nothing else to ask you about. So, of course, they're going to ask you, a player that's had a pretty long injury history that he has played through a lot of, hey, how you feeling out there? I don't think that Stafford's going to miss time. I think he will find a way to play through it. But the real question is about, hey, how healthy is he going to be the second, the third month of the year? Is he going to be able to make it through the whole thing? I bet he'll play all the games, but I wonder about that. Elbow injuries like that, and just given the wear and tear that he's already had on his body, it could be one of those years where he doesn't make it all the way through playing at the same level that we saw him playing it in the playoffs.
I was going to say, I just looked up. He's 34, so he's not like a young buck.
And he's old for 34.
Right.
Because, I mean, imagine you played for the Detroit Lions and you're getting your
teeth. Got hit all the time.
Yeah. I said your teeth. That's not a thing. Your teeth kicked
Steve?
In. Your teeth kicked in at all times. Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, I don't
Sean's
know Steve there. Yeah.
Bears wide receiver Darnell Mooney went down with an injury in practice. No exact timetable for his return, but this means the Bears wide receiver core has even less depth than it did Is Mitchell Trubisky or not? Wow.
Justin Fields.
Thank you. Is Justin Fields going to suffer even more because of the lack of depth on this Bears?
Oh, yeah. He's screwed. I actually feel for him. Because if you're an Ohio State quarterback, I already expect it's going to be a tough transition to the NFL for you. I think of those guys who go to the super programs. They come to the NFL, and it's a little bit difficult when you're playing with a team that doesn't maybe have the super talented supporting cast that you would optimally want to have. And I would say, like Clemson, I've always gotten that same kind of vibe from USC as well. But Ohio State quarterbacks in particular, and now all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to be without one of his wide receivers. I mean, at least Matt Nagy's not there anymore.
True.
That's all you really have, though, at this point.
Are you a Justin Fields stan?
No.
Because there are a lot of people that still believe in Justin Fields.
I think it's possible that he's good. We'll just never know because of the Chicago Bears.
Which, that's fair.
I mean, if you want to play a fun game, name other than Darnell Mooney, name two Bears receivers.
Right.
Is Kevin White still there?
No.
Remember, he was a first-round pick who didn't play ever. Allen Robinson, he's gone. He's with the Rams now.
Yes. Brandon Marshall is the host of a podcast now.
So I only know this one because my friend Courtney Cronin covers the Bears, and I listened to her talk about it on Get Up This Morning.
But Curtis Conway.
Aquanimeous St. Brown is there.
Okay.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Does anyone remember Curtis Conway?
Wouldn't have known that before this morning.
Bears wide receivers history. What do they got?
Leading receiver yards.
Guess who's their who's their fourth all-time leading receiver?
Oh, is it depressing? Is it Matt Forte?
No. It's better than Matt Forte, but it'll definitely make you think, oh, wow, they haven't exactly had the best wide receivers.
Mike Ditka?
Walter Payton is their fourth all-time leading receiver behind Alshon Jeffrey, who's at three. Harlan Hill, who the hell is that? And Johnny Morris are 1 and 2.
In other NFL news, and this directly relates to Houston in one way or another,
Ditka's
right?
Ditka's fifth all-time, by the way.
Who is?
Ditka's fifth all-time in Bears receiving.
Running back Kareem Hunt, who is seeking a contract extension, has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. However, the Browns are not expected to honor that request.
It's funny when guys who used to be very relevant players do stuff like this, and they're told no, and then they're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just go back to practice now because I don't want to face any fine. The Browns do have a luxury at running back in that they have Hunt behind Nick Chubb. Hunt's got to realize he's pretty lucky that he's even in the league.
Well,
after
he missed 9 games last season, so he can't even stay healthy. Do you think it's the Deshaun Watson situation? Do you think it's him wanting a bigger role somewhere else?
He probably wants to just get paid. I think he's only going to make $1.2 million a season. But go back to the year where the Chiefs cut him for the incident where he punched somebody. I think was it a woman that he punched at like a hotel or something like that?
Oh, was that him?
And it was in Cleveland, too,
That's
of all places.
Right.
And the Browns still brought him in. And here's the other thing, too. He over that same year, like, had 3 incidents.
Oh, that's right.
He may have changed. He might be more mature, might be less susceptible to, I don't know, like doing dumb things after having a cocktail or two now. But you're lucky to be in the league, man. You're trying to request a trade. Good luck.
The arrogance behind the fact that you missed 9 games, the fact that you've been penalized, but when really, let's face it, if you're caught on video, you should be kicked out of the league, in my opinion. But you're going to get caught on video punching and kicking a woman. Then the Browns bring you in and you can't stay healthy. And then you have all of this depth. I'm sorry. The arrogance there is just astounding me. Mm-hmm. And if you're Deshaun Watson, who are you looking for if you're like the Browns GM right now as somebody that could possibly, because one of the continuous storylines is, are they going to bring in Jimmy G? Are they going to make that leap or are they going to go with Brissett? Are they going to give Jacoby Brissett yet another chance to come in and try to save a franchise?
I wonder. I mean, Brissett's not going to help them. Maybe there's a part of them that realizes, yeah, if we don't have Watson this year, we kind of are what we are. But they have a lot of talented players, so I don't think they're doing their due diligence if they don't get another guy. Wherever Garoppolo ends up is going to be really interesting. I heard the bench talking about it this morning and about how, hey, if Dak Prescott gets injured again or something like that, would Dallas be willing to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? We've mentioned, you know, last week we discussed the possibility and we're kind of like, yeah, there's no way the 49ers would do this, but the Rams with Matt Stafford, that's someone that they're going to be thinking about. I think if you're the Browns, you should make this happen, but it's really a matter of, hey, what's the cost and is it going to be worth it to have Jimmy Garoppolo for one season where, okay, maybe you're like a plus 500 team that makes the playoffs, but are you going places with Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it worth the draft picks to bring him in? Good question. I don't know.
We'll see. More coverage coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. This is an NFL story, technically, but it's kind of about avoiding work. Have you ever avoided work or a punishment? Plus our In Case You Missed It segment that's coming up.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're rolling along on a Monday. We're a little slap happy behind the scenes
Sean
here.
Had a great dad joke.
Yeah.
And then it made me just reminded me, oh yeah, I'm the old one here and that appreciates the dad jokes and you two are in your 20s.
I was bringing up the word melancholy and Sean said,
oh, I don't really like fruit.
Yeah.
Da-da. It's so terrible. It's great, though.
Sean, are you secretly a dad? Do you have a kid we don't know about?
No.
What did he say?
Hope not.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
never know.
We go.
Over the weekend, a story went viral. Rich Orenberger, who played for the Patriots, says that he got in a car crash intentionally to avoid being late to the Patriots practice facility because apparently Bill Belichick was not a fan of tardiness, like he rear-ended a car, that type of deal. This did go viral, and a lot of people commented on it. I don't know if I believe this man, because this is the same guy who had to apologize after saying Patrick Mahomes asked his brother Jackson and fiance Brittany not to come to games.
This is true. So the Orenberger clip that we have is pretty long. I think you are very correct in saying, hey, he put this out. There's something else that he had that involved the relationship between Tom Brady.
He had said the quote unquote honeymoon was over,
right?
And he was the first one that was like digging in deep to that. And we now know that maybe they didn't love each other, but it wasn't some like big beef.
Right. There was I think a little bit of sour grapes about the fact that Brady and Byron left, which would be in early for offensive gameplay meetings. Arians would come in later and shoot some things down and just say no about it. And I don't think that Tom Brady is someone who's ever going to like it when somebody shows up late to go consistent with the way that the Patriots go about doing things. I wonder about this because, okay, you get in a car accident. Well, how do you spin this to the team? And he said that he saw a parked large van, that he crashed into the back of it, that the old guy got out, had a long beard, and actually was apologetic to him. So there are details, at the very least, Vanessa, that make it sound like this isn't something that's necessarily
made up. Orenberger said his heart was, quote, pounding with regret and guilt. He paid off the man, whom he described as incredibly sympathetic, with cash and provided insurance information.
He wanted this entirely because he didn't want to get singled out in the middle of team meetings for being late. He woke up. He missed his alarm, and he just drove in, and that was something he thought to do on the way into work. I mean, it must be nice to be an NFL player making an NFL salary where you don't feel nervous about the idea of crashing your car into somebody else's car.
Aren't you worried about hurting somebody?
That, too.
I mean, this is like sociopathic behavior.
Yeah, the fact that it was an old man in like an old beat-up bus was like that. He was like, yep, perfect target. Like,
that's disturbing. And I also want to point out the fact in the story, and of course, he has his own show, by the way. It's the Richo Show or whatever, where he says he paid off the man with cash. To me, this is the first ding, ding, ding that it's a fake story, because this means that there's no insurance trail. Right? This means that he just paid him off in cash.
Well, maybe that's why, because it would be insurance fraud, because he would be an intentional crash.
So he's covering himself from insurance fraud by saying he paid him off in cash. He's making it so that reporters cannot trace the story. I don't know if I buy it. I know it's a great story. I know his method of social media is every couple months he says something crazy, and then it goes viral, and then it provides content for talking heads like us. I understand. I don't know if I buy it.
He should have faked his kidnapping, right? I mean, that's the obvious. If you want to take a day off from work, you just say,
Jesse Smollett yourself. Yep.
Yes.
Hashtag never forget.
But that you have to get beat up for. Like, Jesse Smollett paid those people to beat the hell out of him.
Not only did he pay them, do you remember they did the magazine clippings, like, from a movie where they took the letters
it
from
was, It was all, like, a scene from, like, a, like, daytime TV show.
Rant. It was too dramatic. Like, that was his biggest mistake, because classic actor going too far with the bit.
They had, like, mask on, and then put a mask on his head, and then a noose over his neck. It was, like, so many steps.
And for... he said they said all these racist things, and then they were like, oh, wait, they're both African.
Yeah, they're both his, like, Nigerian cousins.
Have you guys ever done anything to avoid a late penalty, being late to work, or avoid a punishment? Not maybe, like, crashing your car, but just in general.
I mean, there's a bunch of white lies that you theoretically could tell. I would never spill the beans on myself, but dead relative, you're feeling sick, you're having not the best day.
Yeah.
I need a mental health day. You know.
Paul continues his war on mental health.
And well, no. I'm saying.
Suck it up, Paul.
Suck it up. Yeah, get the shirts made. Suck it up.
That's what she said. I think that there's a bunch of things that you could have as excuses. And unfortunately, you're just going to have to really commit. And I don't know how many people ultimately think it's worth it to commit as far
right.
as some of these places I think would need you to commit. Because I think like with the Smollett situation, of course people are going to look into the background of this.
I mean, the police would have to get involved.
And it's high-profile police.
Yeah.
It's a Chicago PD.
That makes sense. Someone just twitched in. He's using COVID to get out of jury duty next Monday. I wonder how much longer people can say that they have COVID or we're near yeah. someone that has COVID as a legit excuse to not go into work. Because you can work remote in so
I
many situations.
I used stress
now.
To get out of jury duty.
Stress?
Yeah, I was like, you know, I'm really stressed and I'm not mentally there right now. Now, in my
so that
defense,
was mental health day.
So this was when I worked in Cincinnati, but I still had my Indiana license. Mm. So I had been summoned for jury duty in Terre Haute, Indiana, where I'm from. 3 hours from Cincinnati, Ohio. So it's not that I didn't want to do jury duty. I actually would like to do jury duty because I want to do like a murder on Dateline. But I honestly like was not logistically going to make it work. So I was like, look, I work somewhere else now. I'm really stressed out. I'm not going to be able to make the drive. And it did get me out of jury duty.
Okay.
So there was my excuse. I also said I felt sick after an orthodontist appointment one time because I didn't want to go back to school.
Sick after an orthodontist mm-hmm. appointment.
All the fluoride really got to me.
I've definitely been sick, missed a day. And then the next day, my mom been like, how you feeling? Can't do it. Gonna need one more day. And then that day is just Madden all day.
I never could get away with that. I tried with my parents a couple of times, and my mom was always like, no, go to school.
Yeah. The suck it up comes from
that's,
mom.
That's why I always had to have been previously sick. It never worked just waking up being like, don't feel right. so good, mom. But it had to be like, no, I threw up yesterday. I'm still not feeling good.
Like extended vacation.
Did you cause the throwing up yourself? Was it a real, authentic throw-up? Or did you, like, find a way
did
to
I
yak?
Stick fingers down my throat? No, yeah. I didn't do that.
I've never been able to do it. Like, I know some people do that. There have been a couple of situations where I've had, like, had chicken that was undercooked, and I was like, oh, maybe I should, you know,
yeah, well,
yak this up.
I know a lot of us women can do it. It's time for In Case You Missed It Monday.
Ooh, nice.
There you go. Yes. We have a little music bed, thanks to our rock star producer.
Okay. Night. Well,
all right. Cale Gundy, a fixture on the Oklahoma sideline and
Cale.
The longest tenured football coach in the Big 12, brother of Mike Gundy.
I figured his name would be a real name, not like the improper spelling of a popular
I mean, I
vegetable
think he's
among
in
millennials.
His 50s, right? So it's not like okay. It's not like his parents' name. I wouldn't expect Mike Gundy's parents to name anybody after Cale.
Cale is a terrible name. Let's
Cale released
on.
A statement, and the long and the short of it is this. I owe it to Sooner Nation to be honest. Last week during a film session, I instructed my players to take notes. I noticed a player was distracted. So I picked up that player's iPad and read aloud the words that were written on the screen. The words displayed had nothing to do with football. One particular word that I should never, under any circumstance, have uttered was displayed on that screen. In the moment, I did not even realize what I was reading, and as soon as I did, I was horrified. So I think we can probably imagine what the word was, because it's a word so bad that he wasn't able to put it in the tweet. Do you guys buy it that Cale Gundy accidentally said this word, and as Sean said before the show, Ron Burgundy'd himself?
Yeah, I think so. Here's what I believe he thought would happen, though, that when he resigned, that other players would be like, no, and then like lay the jersey down on the desk of the head coach. yeah, that didn't happen. They must not have liked him very much, because it does seem like a rather innocuous thing to, like, hey, resign after a 30-year career.
Right.
All of a sudden, because of one thing where you accidentally read it. Like, there must have been a little extra oomph.
Oomph in that word, yeah.
In that word, yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that... I think that story has been massaged a lot to make it possible for Cale Gundy to get another job at some point in his life.
Speaking of massages, our other, in case you missed it, piece of information, there will be a massage convention this month in Cleveland. The American Massage Therapy Association is holding its annual conference downtown Cleveland from August 25th to August 27th. Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps is the keynote speaker.
Oh, that sucks for Michael Phelps.
They even get an athlete. Wow.
He's going to be getting a lot of questions like, have you ever done anything inappropriate during a massage?
How many masseuses have you had in your life?
I mean, that we're laughing, but that's 100% the Cleveland news reporters are going to ask those things.
That sucks. He's going to be stuck answering questions about that. If I'm Michael Phelps, I'm telling my promoter, get me the hell out of this. Somebody else is doing it.
I think I have COVID.
Yeah. We're gonna hear a lot of those excuses. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we recap the Astros weekend, plus some updates on injury, who wants to come back, and who is seeming like he may be out for a long time. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.